So we're going to transition. This morning I'm going to talk about foundations and celebrating foundations. And the fact that really foundations kind of get overlooked. We neglect foundations sometimes. We disregard foundations sometimes. We despise them at times. And so they just kind of become unimportant in a lot of ways. So I'm going to go and give just a quick bit of background to the scripture that I'm going to read, because I'm not going to read very much scripture. It's going to be short and quick. So before we get to where we're at in here, basically what happens is King Nebuchadnezzar moves in. They destroy Israel. The temple's destroyed, and the Jews are exiled. And so they're exiled to Babylon. Solomon Temple is completely destroyed. It's down to the dirt, nothing left of it. Then roughly 50 years later, King Nebuchadnezzar is out and King Cyrus is in, and God moves upon Cyrus and stirs up his heart, and Cyrus sends out a proclamation to the kingdom and says, any Jews in this kingdom can now come back to Jerusalem and they can rebuild their temple. And about 42,000 Jews, like 42,360, I think is what it says. But so over 42,000 of the Jews return. About 2 years after they return, so a couple years later, they have basically started to rebuild the temple, and the foundation is essentially completed, and that's where we're going to jump in at. Okay, so we're going to go to Ezra, be in chapter 3. We're just going to read verses 10 through 13. If y'all want to stand for the reading of the word this morning. Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. It says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you use your word to consume our hearts and minds, and let us walk out of here forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the foundation of the temple is completed, and the priests and the Levites, we'll just say the praise band got together, and they got their trumpets and their drums and their cymbals out, and they led the people in praise and worship and thanksgiving unto God, because the foundation of the temple was completed. The one that was in complete ruins down to the dirt 50 years ago, we can now see that there's going to be a temple again. So they're thanking God, and the people have a great shout. And it's praise, and it's so loud, it's heard afar off. And the foundation of the Lord's temple is complete, and they're celebrating. But, so when you get in here, at verse 12, it says, but. So depending on the translation that you get, it'll say but, it'll say yet, it'll say however. So depending on what you're looking at, that but's important, I think. Yeah. It says but, or however. Some translations specifically say that the people that were leading the charge, so the foremen on the job site, were 20-year-old men. It was the 20-year-old men. And so these young men are excited about what's going on. They're excited that they've reestablished the foundation of the temple. But the men who had seen the first temple, the old men, they began to weep loudly. So while most of the people and these young men that were doing the work of the Lord were celebrating and shouting for joy and celebration, the old men, some of these old men that saw the first temple, are weeping and they're crying. And it says that they were so loud that the people that were afar off couldn't discern what was going on. So if we were a bystander and we were afar off and we were listening, we wouldn't know if this was a happy time or a sad time. So are they over there celebrating, or is everything breaking loose and something terrible is happening? We couldn't discern between what was actually happening. So why are these men weeping? Why would these old men be crying when the foundation of the Lord's temple is being reestablished? There's a couple main reasons why I think they would be crying. One of them would be they wept because they did see the first temple. And as they saw the foundations of this temple, they saw that it was going to be inferior. This temple is not going to be as big as that the first temple was. This temple, the material that they're using is not the material that Solomon used. And so they're saying that this is going to be inferior, and they begin to weep because of it. The other main reason I think they may be crying is they were old enough to see the first temple, and here we are 50 years later. They know that they're going to be dead and gone before this one's completed. So I'm not going to say that these men don't have a reason to have mixed emotions, but I am going to say that the foundation of the Lord's temple was being reestablished and built before their eyes, before they passed, and there was reason to celebrate. And we don't celebrate foundations. We have a tendency as people to disregard, despise. Foundations aren't flashy. Foundations are dirty. You got to move dirt. It's not flashy. It's the hard work. It's the beginning stages. We talked about new days, new beginnings. They're in the beginning stages of not just building something new, but reestablishing. And so to add to the story, as they continue to build this thing, they had to fight to build it. You know, some foundations are worth fighting for.
Yes.
Not everything in the history of America is pretty, but some foundations are worth fighting for.
Yeah.
We need to realize some of the foundations that are being stripped away. The foundational things that are being torn down and destroyed. We need to recognize the importance of foundations. There are foundational things like faith, like family, that are being torn down and destroyed, redefined. And some of those foundations are worth fighting for. Callings are more important than careers. Callings are foundational things that God has called you to. I'm called to be a husband and a father before I'm called to be a businessman, before I'm called to be a CEO. My calling is more important than my career. And we've lost sight of some of this stuff. Steph and I, in the last 3 months, two young people, two youths in our family have tried to kill themselves. If the foundation of fathers was celebrated, how many suicides would be spared because the dad stayed there? A foundational thing. How many things would be different? How many people wouldn't be addicted to meth right here in your region if we celebrated foundational things, fathers and families? Having each other's backs through the hard stuff. Sticking it out through the hard stuff. We've made it easy to walk away from foundational things rather than sticking it out, celebrating it, fighting to build it. We don't celebrate those things. We are success obsessed. Where we put things out of order. We like the flashy stuff. We don't want to have to keep making sure this foundation is sturdy. We got these flashy things to do over here. Nobody sees all the dirt I got to move for the foundation. They see the cool things I do over here. None of this over here happens without the foundations. Because you can go out and you can climb the corporate ladder and you can get as high as you want and you can start 15 businesses, but if the foundation is faulty, the ladder's going to fall. If the foundation's faulty, nothing can stand. Nothing can remain. Everything will crumble. And we don't celebrate the foundations. What we do is we compare our foundations to other people's finished products. You can't compare your foundation to their finished product. You may just be starting something new. You may be 20 years old and starting a business, and he's 65 and got 10 businesses. Y'all are in two different places. You can't compare where you're at to where he's at. You can't neglect the new beginning. You can't neglect the new thing. You can't neglect the rebuild, the foundation. That's the most important work. And so we compare and we get discouraged. We compare our new beginnings with finished accomplishments and we get discouraged. We compare the new temple to the old temple and we find everything that's wrong with the new one. If you jump in Haggai, I mean, you can historically look it up. It was inferior. It didn't get built the same way. I mean, Solomon had a $10 billion budget. But you go in Haggai, and the Lord says, I'll fill that temple more than I ever filled that one. This temple will hold a glory that one never saw. And this temple will hold that never saw. But we compare the new temple with the old one, and here's everything wrong with this new temple. You build the foundation, and you walk in your calling, you do the thing that God has called you to do, that he's asked you to do, and yet that you pray over and you war over and you're doing that thing. And it might not look as good as everybody else's, but God can move in your situation and he can fill the thing that you're doing beyond what you ever thought you could possibly do. And it'll certainly be beyond what you could actually physically do. Did you know that there was no chance the Jews were ever going to go back to Israel? No chance, except God moved on a man's heart. God stirred a king's heart. There was nothing anybody else was going to be able to do, but God stepped into the situation. His plan was different than the kingdoms of the world's plan. The king of the world had his own agenda to take his kingdoms and make his kingdom, but God stepped in and said, I will never leave you or forsake you, and I'm going to stir the king's heart, and they're going to go back to their own land. Not only are they going to go back, but you're going to say that they're able to build the temple, the one that was destroyed and laid in ruins, never to be seen again. We find everything that's wrong with the new one in comparison to the old one. We neglect the blessings of the present and the future. We neglect the thought that the new thing could be better than the old thing. So even though the temple was torn down and the new one looked inferior, it could be better, but we neglect that thought because we're stuck in comparison. It don't look like. Sometimes it don't matter what it looks like. You guys ever been in a situation in your life where it looked like there was no way? Except God made a way? Sometimes it doesn't matter what it looks like. We do the same thing when we look at other people. Ain't no way they're ever going to get it together. You're wrong. God can step in and it can be changed in 1 second. We let our embellished memories cause us to devalue the present and the future. I said what I said on purpose. We let our embellished memories devalue our present and future. Your memories have been embellished. You guys ever caught that nice fish that 5 years later was a little bigger? Our memories get embellished. And we talk more about the good side of the memories than all the other stuff that was still going on in the memories. Here's what I'm talking about. These same old men 2 years ago were exiles. But now they're crying because, well, this new temple is going to be inferior to the old one. Yeah, well, the foundation of the temple is there. And 2 years ago, you were in exile, never to see your homeland again or be able to worship your God the way that you were taught to worship your God. We focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. We cry over the things that we currently see rather than celebrating the things that we could see. That could be. So let me ask you this question. I think this is probably an important question, one that you should probably write down. Because we focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. We all have something. Just like we all have stuff. Dan said this morning, we all have stuff. We all have something. We got something that we can do. We got something that we can use. And in this text, we got one group of people that are celebrating, shouting, jumping, making a loud noise, and it's joy. And you got another group of people that are shouting, jumping, making a loud noise, crying, and it's sadness. It's grief. It's the opposite. So my question is, can you praise God when all you have is the foundation? Yeah. Let me ask it a different way. Will you praise God when all you have is the foundation? Now let me say it another way. Let me add to it. Let's say that you've had everything you ever wanted and you lost it all and you got stripped back to the foundation. Will you still praise God when you lost it all and all you have is the foundation? I think about guys, everybody in here probably knows Dave Ramsey, so I'll use that one. I think about guys that have been multi-millionaires, lost it all, and became millionaires again. Lost everything, and in the midst of all of that, still celebrated God. Not only that, but then created a whole curriculum in the ways of God and so on, became a multimillionaire again. If you lost it all, and all you had was you and God, would you still praise God? Would you still worship God? All you have is the foundation. You started with you and you're back to you. So the young men who built this foundation were praising. They were celebrating the work of their hands, the things that they had done for God, unto God. Let's think about them for a second. Here's these young men shouting for joy. They're happy. They've reestablished the foundations of the temple, and it was by they stepped into a calling and they'd done something that there was no chance they were ever going to be able to do. And God moved, and here they are doing this thing. And now the people around them, all around them, begin to devalue what they've done. But let me add to it a little bit if you jump in there. The Levites, the heads of the fathers' houses, the old men, the leaders of these older, the wise men, that the 42,000 that came in, these are the old dudes. These are kind of the leaders. These are the priest and so on. They're devaluing what these young guys have done. What do I mean by that? These young guys look up to these old guys. These young guys admire and respect these old guys, and the things that they've done are being devalued by these men. Think that's important? I think that's important. So let me ask you this question. Will you continue to build the foundations of what God has asked you to build when others don't celebrate what you're building? That's not an easy task. Let me say it again. Will you continue to build what God's called you to build when others don't celebrate it? What happens is people begin to devalue what we're doing. We get infected by it. We begin to devalue it ourselves and we walk away from it. God called you to build that foundation, that thing on purpose. And we make it way bigger than it is. We think it's building teams and building businesses and building. It's building you. You becoming a better father. You becoming a better mother. You becoming a better husband. You becoming a better wife. It's not the flashy. It's not the big things we always tie it to. It's the foundations. If right now there was two conferences, let's say it this way. Let's say we were going to do it here. It was going to be two conferences, back-to-back weekends. One of the conferences is you can come in here and this world-renowned speaker that knows more than anybody else is going to teach you the surefire way to become a multimillionaire. The other conference is all the men and women in this community can come in and they can be counseled by the greatest marriage counselors in the world, and you're going to have a surefire 30, 50, however old you are, a lasting marriage until you die. One of them is going to sell more tickets than the other one, and it ain't going to be the marriage one. We don't celebrate the foundational things. But you can become a CEO and a multimillionaire, and the foundations of your life can be in ruins. And most of the time when that happens, because you're in the position that you are in, you end up dealing with that by yourself. And that's why so many of those people kill themselves. And you look at it and you think, why? What in the world could be wrong? They got everything. They got the flashy stuff. But yet, all that foundational is all, it's all cracked up and it falls apart. We treat foundational things like they're boring, like they're less than, like they're unimportant, yet nothing will remain, nothing will stand without it. Quick example. We're starting to bring this thing to a close. Quick example. Something foundational in your life that will solidify your whole life. If you would read your word every day, it'd change your life. But we don't have time. I got all the more important stuff I got to do. I got my business to build, and I got my corporate ladder to climb, and I got, but I don't have time to read the Word. You guys ever been there? I've this thing's laid closed for a month, whatever. Sometimes just like I'm going. Probably ought to get in here, and it might settle me out a little bit. Where I'm not so squirrely. Yeah. But it'll lay there, not being used, foundational. I'm not talking about a religious duty. Yeah. I'm not talking about I got to do it because I'm a Christian and that's what Christians do. I'm also not talking about your verse of the day notification on your phone. I'm talking about going in here, seeking God, reading a piece of scripture, dwelling on it, and praying that the Holy Spirit would lead you into understanding. It is the Spirit that leads us into understanding. So I'm wanting to go to that same book that I've read 25 times to get the thing that I haven't got yet. It's foundational. And if I will keep solidifying the foundation, my life, my everything will become stronger. Not, I've read that whole thing a few times. It's foundational. Stay in it. Doesn't matter how many times you've read it. When you read something and you ask for understanding about it, you'll get something you've never got before. The thing that got me to Ezra, we were in our Apex conference and somebody was talking about Ezra and Nehemiah, and he was talking about stuff that I'd never pulled out of it before. And every time that happens, I'm always like, what is wrong with me? Why didn't I ever see that? Well, they were seeking things that I wasn't. They were asking God about stuff in their prayer life that I wasn't. That's why all this is so important. So I went back to Ezra. I got something that I hadn't ever got exactly like that before. So it's foundational. It's another one. If you'll just pray, if you'll pray every day, that'll change your life. Let your thoughts be known to God. Let your questions be known to God. Let your desires, the desires of your heart, be known to God. Pray to God every day. And here's kind of the secret. I'm not going to keep going. Here's the thing. Nobody sees it. We are a success-obsessed people. If people don't see it, it's like it don't count. The foundational things are the most important things. It's the most important work. And if you're success obsessed and you have to have it, here's something you can do. Go to that thing you want to read. Get your little selfie going. Put it on Instagram. Snapchat it to somebody. Do whatever you need to do so that somebody can see it. Because that's what we're all about. That's what we're all about. Somebody's got to see my work, or I'm a nobody, or it's not worthy, or there's something wrong with the work, or it's not as good as somebody else's work, or it's all that comparison stuff that I talked about earlier. You don't have to have anybody see it. You can do a work that nobody ever knows about that can be life-changing for somebody else. It's worthy. Foundational things are a pastor that sticks out being a father, that changes 200 years worth of lineage, that changes what's associated with a last name, that changes everything about the future of a family. That is worthy, that is foundational, that is lasting, that is powerful. When you impart into somebody else and it changes their life and you never get to know about it, it doesn't change the impartation. It doesn't change the fact that it happened. It doesn't make it any less worthy. It doesn't make it any less valuable. We got to learn to celebrate these things, not look at reading our word as mundane, as less than, as boring, as not having time for it, but celebrating it that I get to, that when I get home at the end of the day, that's my time to get into my word, that it's something that we start to celebrate, look forward to, and think about it the same way that we do the flashy stuff and all the things that we want and the recognition that we want and all those things. Think about this the same way. Think about our prayer life the same way. Foundational things. Celebrating foundations. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Any subject you want to pick, it's being torn down and redefined. So I'm going to say, don't become the old men that are weeping and crying. Become or remain those that are fighting for the foundation. Yeah. Don't despise the foundation. celebrate the foundation. Don't become those that are comparing what you see and what you have to what you don't have. Don't look at somebody else's family on Facebook and think that you don't have what they have. They got all problems just like you do. Don't get stuck in the comparison game, and don't become the old men that just weep rather than being a builder. Don't weep over how it's never going to be. Build it so that it is. And as people are trying to destroy and tear down and redefine, be the ones that stand up for the foundations. I'm going to celebrate the foundation. It's worth fighting for. Because everything that it took for that to be a foundation was not pretty. And if we lose it, then we got to go through it all again to make it a foundation again. Don't be the old guys that would just cry and leave it in ruins for your kids to have to take care of. Don't be the old guys that are just going to stand there and cry and let their grandchildren deal with it. Be one of the builders. Be one of the ones, be in the crowd that is celebrating the foundation. Because the builders, the ones doing the work, were celebrating it. The ones that were watching were not. So, Father, I would ask you this morning that you would move upon each and every one of us, that you would, I'm going to say, infect our hearts and minds this morning with a desire to build foundations, with a desire to reestablish foundations, with a desire to reinforce foundations, with a desire to be the builders and the fighters and not be the standbyers. Move upon our hearts and our minds to want to get into our Bibles with excitement, to read your word and hear what you say to us, to get into our prayer closet with excitement, over what you're going to reveal to us. Move upon the fathers and the mothers and the husbands and the wives to stand like they've never stood before, to fight like they've never stood before. Father, I'd ask that as you move upon us, as we walk about our days, the foundational things, that it begins to change the people around us, that it changes the families around us, that it changes the communities around us, that little kids aren't wanting to kill themselves anymore, that little kids know who they are, that little boys know their little boys, and little girls know their little boys, little girls, and that it's okay. That it's okay for young men to be young men, and it's okay for young ladies to be young ladies. That you would move upon us to stop turning our backs on it and acting like it's okay when it's not. That you would move upon us, that we would stand up and speak truth when nobody else will. That you would move upon us and not let us forget the foundations. Help us realize what it took to establish foundations and not let it be robbed. Don't let us focus on what we don't have. Show us what we do have. Move upon us like you moved upon Moses. When Moses thought that he didn't have anything, he said, "What's that right there?" Literally in our hands. Show us what we do have. Show us the things that you want us to do. Show us the things that you want us to build. Show us the things that you want us to fight for. So, Father, we thank you today. We praise you today. We worship you today. We celebrate you today, and we celebrate your foundations today. And we're going to be a people that stand upon those foundations, that fight for those foundations, live our life upon those foundations. We praise you today, Jesus. We honor you today. We give ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.